Well, good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you all. It's great to be with you. If you want to take your seats and we just settle ourselves down as we come to the start of Advent. How the heck did we get here so quickly? But here we are at the start of Advent, at the coming expectations of our Lord Jesus Christ as he comes into the world is what we celebrate, that coming, his arrival, that expectant journey as we take just quite shortly over the next 4 weeks, as we can see represented with the candles. And as we come to that, let us start by lighting that candle and hearing our reading. Let me invite Esther and Malika to come up as well. Come on. If you want to just come round this way. And then step up here. There you go. We'll go for that one there, if that's all right. Just stop there. Oh, a bit longer, Try again.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6. For to us a child is born. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
That's great. Thank you so much. And what a great way to start this season of Advent as we come and we glorify and worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But also today, the celebration of a baptism with Emily, that expectant coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation, all wrapped in that nature and symbolicness of baptism as well. Let us just open in prayer this morning and then we'll stand and we'll sing. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks that as we come at the beginning of this new season, this season of Advent, that pregnant expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of humanity. Lord, we want to praise your name this morning. We want to lift your name up on high. And in doing so, you will draw all people to yourself. So light of the world, as you step down into darkness, bring us that hope. Bring us that assurance, bring us your salvation and above all your love. For we glorify your name now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. As we just take our seats, maybe just allow those words to wash over us a little. That as our praise is rising, as eyes are turning, hearts are yearning for the risen Lord Jesus Christ. As we celebrate this time of the arrival of Jesus Christ, as we come and as we gather before him, yes, we welcome him here, but also he welcomes us in that hope, in that faith, in that joy, that peace, and that love that is everlasting and poured out for each and every one. And my readings this morning on the app that I use, Lectio 365, in that coming, the arrival of Jesus, it says, let us pray and let us exceptionally yearn for the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray in those words of Psalm 85, where it reminds us, it says, show us your unfailing love, Lord. Grant us your salvation. For we will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people. And so as we prepare our hearts in this season for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're reminded at the very end of God's word in Scripture, in Revelation, where it says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them. This will be his prey. This will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He goes on to say that he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And we celebrate that within this baptism, that waiting, that desiring, that hope-filled longing, as we invite Christ to come again into our lives, into this beautiful but broken world. And of course, further on in Revelation, it also says that there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has come, the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. This is what we celebrate today. This new hope, the fact that everything is being made new, that lives are being made new in that hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just take a moment of that in prayer. Let's just lift our voices of praise to our Lord and Savior this morning. Father God, we thank you for who you are, for what you have done. Lord, we thank you for the impact and the depth that you've made upon our lives. Lord, we just turn to you, our hearts yearning, and we long for you, Lord. Come and have your way amongst us this day. We glorify your name, Jesus. Lift up our voices and praise his holy name this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. May you shine down into the lives of those that are yet to know you. May you rekindle the fires that are within. And may we burn brightly and shine brightly as a witness of you, not only today, but for all days and forevermore. Amen. Well, as we come to begin to look at baptism, what is baptism? Some people may be wondering. Well, it's a special time where Emily will be joining us in a moment, not just quite yet, but in a moment, and we'll be baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, some may think, well, what is it? Well, it's a sign of a new beginning. It's something that's already taken place within the life of the believer. It is marks that new start. It's the believer's baptism. Now, we may have different understandings and theological conundrums over this, but it is someone that believes that Jesus Christ has died for them, that Jesus Christ was risen again in the power of the resurrection and lives and reigns forevermore. And they've also confessed their faith in him and their sins, and to turn to a new life in a new way, in obedience to Jesus Christ, to follow him and to be guided in this new life through the gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells within. Now, that may sound all very scary or all very confusing, but if we allow ourselves to be open and allow Christ and the Holy Spirit to dwell within, then you'll find that you have nothing but a pure peace and joy upon your heart, which can sometimes be quite scary and quite confusing when things around maybe not quite as it should, when it's in a bit of chaos or there's a bit of turmoil and stress and anxiety. But you can have that love and that peace of God upon your hearts when we turn and we open to him. And of course, becoming a Christian is described in various ways. Again, our understanding of this shows various things: being born again, saved, coming to faith, making a commitment to Christ, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, or becoming a disciple. Well, of course, there is only one Jesus Christ. There is only one Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but many different routes and avenues to come to him. And we hear that through people's stories, through their testimonies. And Emily's no different. She's got a great testimony of how Jesus has impacted her life as she turned to follow him and for him to become her Lord and Savior. And it may be a short time or it may be a longer time in life, but the fact that this circumstances leads to that firm commitment to obediently following Jesus Christ. Baptism is that dramatic symbolic act, if you like, of what has already taken place. If we believe for a moment that walking down into these steps into the water, it all transforms and takes place, then we could be mistaken. If we have that idea, we walk in a dry sinner and come out a wet sinner in Yorkshire water. That's all that this is. comes out of the tap from somewhere, along some pipes, from a reservoir, no doubt. But the fact that this symbolic act of dying to oneself in the death that Christ died, into the water, into that watery grave, and then coming back out again, resurrected in that power of new life in Christ Jesus. This is where we see of being born again, of being washed, of being buried and raised. Paul mentions in Romans chapter 6, he says, therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of Father, so we too may walk in the newness of life. Because Christ is life. He is the life, the truth, and the way, and the other way around. The truth, the way, the life. But it's about being immersed. And again, there's different understandings of this, but it's about being immersed in the Holy Spirit. When Emily's baptized, you'll be fully immersed into the water. Don't worry, we'll bring you back up. I promise you. I said that at the beginning and I mean it. But to be totally immersed into that idea of being plunged into the realms of Holy Spirit. The Spirit being spiritual life and enables us to live for God in God's strength. Being in the realm of Holy Spirit brings us new resources, brings us those gifts alive to help us serve and live for God effectively. Because it's about turning from oneself to turn into the life that God has for us. The plans that he has for us to prosper us and not to harm us, as we know. And ultimately, Jesus commands it. He says, go, therefore, and be baptized. And on, as we know. He makes that very clear. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is what Emily will declare today. And this is what we'll declare as apostles and disciples of Jesus Christ as we baptize her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Enough of me rambling on. That's what we're going to be looking at. But first I want to invite Jenny to come up. This is Olivia's mum and Emily and Beth's grandma, nan? Grandma?
Granny.
Granny. I hate getting it wrong sometimes. People are like, I'm not a granny or a grandma, but you are, and that's wonderful. Jenny, come and share with us scripture, please. Thank you.
This reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses, lost it, 15 to 17. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to them, saying, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, that's wonderful. And so, let us pray. And if anybody would also, as they feel led, to pray for over Emily and family as well, then please do feel free to join in. But we pray, Father God, we thank you and we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was baptized in the River Jordan and passed through the deep waters of death. We praise you that you raised him to life and exalted him. And Lord, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit now. We pray that this baptism may be for your servant, a union with Christ in his death and resurrection, and so that you too, Christ, was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father. Emily too will be raised to newness of life. Lord, would you pour out your Spirit and anoint her for the service that she will grow into and into the likeness of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Creator God, thank you for Emily this morning. Thank you for her love for you. We thank you that we've seen her growing up from a tiny baby to the young lady that she is this morning in this church. We thank you for the junior church leaders that have guided her, and we thank her for her whole family who have supported her, knowing you. And Lord, we pray your protection over her this morning. We pray that the enemy will not get any foothold in her mind, that you'll keep her safe with you, in you, from this day forward, Lord. And so, Creator God, we just worship you this morning for who you are, for what you've done in Emily's life. And Lord, empower her for what you have for her in the future. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank you, Father God, that you would anoint her, that you would bless her, and all of us here as well, including her family, her mum, dad, and sister, Lord, and her granny, and all those that are here to witness this newness of life. Lord, be upon her now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. So let me invite Emily up, because you're going to come and share your testimony, because Emily is here. Because Jesus Christ has found her and she has found Jesus Christ. And you're going to share that with us now, aren't you, Emily?
It's quite tricky to put into words. I've been praying for God for a while now. He reassures me when I'm scared at night, so I know nothing is going to hurt me in bed. And he helps me to sleep. My mum, my sister and all the people who have helped me taught that Jesus sacrificed his life for me to get rid of my sins. So I want to tell everyone that he has forgiven me and pay him back by loving him too. And I just wanted to say that on Friday night after dancing at dance school and having tea or dinner, we heard a bang outside. Someone had been hit by a car. Everyone who was with him and lots of other people came to help. It made me think of when everyone comes to help with one thing all together and saves it. And luckily they survived. I felt like that was God's work. I see being baptized as thanking God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit for everything they've done for me in my life and in the future. And dear Lord, thank you.
Thank you. Well, let's go down into the water, because we've heard of your testimony and we are going to go into the water now, so we'll go off for a second.
Yeah, that'll be fine, won't it?
Kids, if you can't see, if you want to come round, there's Malika there, isn't there, and any others? Where, oh, she's there, look. There. Any bigger kids then? Want to gather round and see as well.
Okay, Emily, so we've heard your testimony, and we've got some questions now we just need to ask you. So, Emily, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do. He has redeemed me and called me by name.
Do you turn from sin and all that is wrong to follow Christ?
I do. Christ is my way, he is the truth, and now he is my life.
And will you live within the fellowship of the church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
With the Spirit's help, this is my witness.
Okay. So, we've heard of your repentance and of your testimony of faith, and now, hold your nose. And now we baptize you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Morning. On this wonderful, happy occasion. The reading this morning comes from Isaiah, chapter 8. That's 5:7-2, if you want to follow it in your Bible. 5:7-2. Starting from verse 19. And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? To the teaching and to the testimony, if they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And then when they are hungry, they will be engaged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upwards. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into the thick darkness. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter times, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation and have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. But for every boot of the trampling warrior in that battle tumult, they and every garment rolled in blood will be burnt as fuel for the fire. If you want to join in from 6, the well-known bit. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do this. Amen.
Well, it's great if you've still got your Bibles open at Isaiah. We're going to be looking in there this morning, as I say, as we come to our Advent series where we're looking at hope, joy, peace and love. And today, of course, being hope as we look at that. And again, thanks ever so much, Barbara, for reading that there. Let me start by saying what an honour it is and a privilege to be able to carry out baptisms. And certainly today with Emily is no different in showing the start of this Advent series and this Advent season of where newness of life is given in that hope that we have. Not the hope that rests within us, but the hope within Christ Jesus for all that is said and all that he has done. And yet all that he continues to say and continues to do comes to pass because he is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just something that is said and forgotten about. He keeps to his promises. And we hear of that through this story in Isaiah, as we're reminded. It gives us hope. It shows us the faith of God. And of course, as Emily shared herself this morning, the hope that she has in God, and thanks for her salvation and her new life, but also it brings us the joy and the peace at the wonders of our great God. Well, like I say, hope, faith, joy and peace are where we're heading. And I want to look at hope today. Now, we heard Barbara say the reading from Isaiah. And it's always good to give context to a passage. I guess any preacher worth their salt will give the context and not just take a passage and fragment the text and make it to what they want. But there's some explanation of what's happening, what it means for us. If you know your history, then you'll know exactly what was going on at this time in and around Isaiah was writing. The many battles that were raging. If you look back at the beginning of chapter 8, you'll see that the verses predict the fall of Israel, but also Aram as well. So what, you may say? Well, actually, these passages have great significance easy for you to say, and consequences as well. Judah will be rejecting God's gentle, sustaining care instead of opting to see others, to save them and their nation. And of course, if you go back into chapter 7, you'll see a sign of deliverance that is prophesied. In that, the virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means? But that wasn't to come for some 700 years later. Now, the people at that time may have heard, well, not may have, would have heard that. And would have thought, but how? Who is going to come and save us? Is there going to be some shining knight in armour on a white charger, steeding through and slashing and slaying and bringing back justice and everything to be? Well, no, they never saw that. Of course, it's easy for us to look on this side of the cross and look back and see where a humble man rode in on a donkey. And yet that didn't happen, like I say, for around some 700 years later. But there was that hope there. And it's interesting as why, and we'll come to that in a moment. But as we see, well within the chaos of Isaiah, Isaiah tried to rally the people back to God, to remind them to commit themselves to him first and then to their king. And he even predicted the overthrow of the government would take place. But yet still, they went about their own way, doing their own thing. People were in constant fear of invasion. Yet Isaiah reminded them that the Lord Almighty is the one to fear. Because they was fearing the war, the terrorism, and the stuff that was going on in those days. And yet this is a reading that could speak right into today. For the anxiety in the people and the fear that they have of the wars and terrorism, that the attacks, the diseases and the pollution that rob us of our trust in God. But yet, there's still promises yet to be fulfilled. That great promise that Christ will come again in glory, whether this side of life for us or in the next, there is that still to be fulfilled. And that's why many people and alternative movements, if you like, will want you to believe, in the sense that it's these things that we must fear, the wars and the terrors and the pollution and all the rest of it, when actually we need not to worry and need not to fear because of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. The hope that Isaiah prophesied in all those years before, of where he says that the one will come. And the further reading of the other prophecies that God gave, fulfilled then, fulfilled at the time of Christ, and yet still to be fulfilled. These are things that are happening. These are things that are coming to pass and are promised and will come to fruition. But yet, what we need to understand, that this is for God to do in his time and in his way. Because his ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his ways. Easy to say. But one easier thing to say is God is not controlled by time, space or matter. If he was, we'd all be in trouble. But he isn't. He operates outside of that. Why? Because he's God. Whatever way we want to see of that. And as we read, and as we heard Barbara read to us, people consulted mediums and necromancers, if you like, to seek answers from dead people instead of turning to God. And sadly, that still goes on today with many charlatans, if you like. You often may drive past and outside a pub, it's got come and see mystic or septic peg or whatever. It's rubbish, because they're not consulting the living God. They're rejecting his plans. And that's exactly what happened then, as we read this passage in Isaiah. People were rejecting God and his way. Instead, they was looking for other ways, and Judah would be blaming others rather than themselves, and even God, for what was happening to them, for their trials and their self-induced problems. And as I say, sadly, that's no different today. The doom, the gloom that is faced there through the fears and the sorrows are not met in with those that they went to see. But yet it ends when they come back to God, because there's hope. They take comfort from the knowledge that God will guide them through safely. Many of that generation didn't see that come to pass, but the generations on did. And in the place that it was prophesied is important, as I say. And so when we faithfully come to him who's the one who is calling us, we see his guiding hand. We see that he has the hope and the plans set before us that we're able to follow. All this is possible if we look at the beginning of chapter 9, where it says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan." And so what, you may say? However, the significance of that, as it continues, where it says that the people were walking in darkness and have seen a great light. Now, many of you that know your history, when this was prophesied, in the place it was prophesied, would be heard some 700 years later and come to fruition. Why? Because it's where Jesus was born. But yet, people didn't see or understand. And yet people still rejected. But yet here, this promise came to fruition. The child referred in this verse 1 to 7 is the deliverer, the Messiah, as we say. The one who will save all people from their slavery of sin. No different then as it is now. And yet, when we receive Christ into our lives, we too have that truth revealed to each and every one of us. There's that truth that we can simply live with. This is where, if you like, the Apostle John referred to as Jesus as the light of the world. Jesus says that he himself is the light of the world. And in this time of great darkness, he walks and he brings truth, he brings hope, he brings that light who would shine on everyone living in the shadow of death. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, this is the message of hope that was fulfilled in the birth of Christ. Again, as we alluded, I think about 2 years ago now, Rob, where you said God with skin on. God stepped down into this world in the form of Jesus Christ. And yet that incarnate, that prophecy coming to truth, the realism of a human being just like you and I, fully human yet fully God, coming and living and experiencing all that we have lived. God promised to send a light who would shine on everyone, and yet here it came to fruition. How is that established? How is that connected? Well, this message of hope that we have from then is fulfilled in the birth of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom, his eternal kingdom. It connects us in that sense that the territories, as I say, of Zebulun and Naphtali represent the northern kingdom as a whole. It's exactly where the territories of where Jesus grew up and often ministered. And that is where, if they would see, a great light would adorn for them in their time. It all connects. It doesn't matter about the time span. It all connects because God is in control. God knows exactly what is going to happen and when it's going to happen. We often want to see that a lot sooner. But yet, if we wait expectantly and patiently and have the hope and the peace and the joy that he so freely gives us, then life may become a little easier. We too can see that that great light shines out from us. We too carry that great light of Christ within us, the dwelling of Holy Spirit within. For what we take into our heart, as Duncan said last week, in mind, body and soul, can radiate out as we journey with others. The hope that we have can be the hope that we can pass on to others that may be in stressful or dark times. The peace that you can have upon your heart is second to none. It's nothing that you can create, it's nothing that you can forge, as I've said before, but it's what God will give if only you open up and allow that to come in. And so, of course, today we celebrate start of Advent, reminded of the coming birth of Jesus, the light of the world to each and to every one. represented in this candle, if you like, as the light of the world, the hope. And yet, it represents the hope that we have is that we're freed from the slavery of sin. We're freed from the pulls and the turns and the twists of this world. Yes, we're in the world, but we're not of the world because we're of Christ and Christ is of us. It's a hope that Emily declared earlier, the hope that she has in God in saving her. And when she was baptized, the hope that we have that all is not lost. Why? Because as we're reminded, it says, thank you, of the greatness of his governance and peace. There will be no end. There will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And we can stand him and go forever and ever and ever and ever till eternity, because there is no end of the greatness of what will happen. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this, was the words prophesied by Isaiah all those years ago. The words of the Lord Almighty accomplished it upon that cross, where we find in John chapter 19, verse 30, where Jesus breathes his last and says, "It is finished." The work that he came to do, the promises that he has for each and every one, was carried out and accomplished there upon that cross. But all was not lost. It is not hopelessness, it is not darkness, it is not faithlessness, but hope and joy and light and peace, because for the power of Almighty God raised and resurrected him to new life 3 days later, and he lives and reigns forevermore. Amen. And so we too, in the time though, as Isaiah, and therefore us today, throughout history, we have that hope that a Saviour will come and reconcile us to God. We have that hope that even if we fall away, there's a turning point where we can come back, where we can reconnect day in and day out. Yes, life is tough. Life is pretty rubbish sometimes. But with that hope that we have in Christ Jesus, it can be made all so much easier. Now, I often say and joke, if someone tells you that becoming a Christian is a life for Riley, run a mile, because it ain't sometimes. Don't get me wrong, it can be. But in the world that we live, we take knocks. We sometimes get knocked down. But Jesus Christ is the hope that we have, that anchor that secures us, that keeps us sailing through, even through the worst storms that we think we're facing. But we have that eternal, glorious promise that is coming back, and that there's a place reserved for each and every one of us. Like I say, whether it's this side of life or we're called into the next. That prophecy is yet to be fulfilled when Christ will return. But it will, and all will be made new. But for now, we hold on to that hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus' life that he gives us can be transformed in power and in truth. And so I guess the message of hope here today, and yet for all to be transformed, is that for those of you that need to maybe recommit to Christ, there's an opportunity to do that. Let his light shine into your darkness. Open your mind and your heart to receive him in, as he gives you new life and sets you free from the slavery of sin, from the darkness, from the doom, from the gloom and distress. And I think it might be a bit too early, because we're still in November, to be singing carols. And don't get me wrong, I won't sing now and hurt your ears. But there is that song, or that carol, if you like, and the words within it are "Little Town of Bethlehem." You know it well, where it captures the truth, and it says in this line, "Yet in thy darkness, in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Come with hearts full of love and full of thanksgiving. Come and hold and join in the heavenly hosts who declare Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Come with expectant hearts. Be bold and step out in faith and say, I want to know more of you, Jesus. I want to have the hope that you give for my life. Let's pray. Father God, as we are struck by your words of hope, just reminded that although this prophecy was from long, long ago, reminded that you, through your servant Isaiah, spoke of a way for your people that was turning to other things and other people to try and save them from what was going on. And yet, Lord, all they simply needed to do was to come and return to you. A bit like as David spoke of this morning in his prayer, of how it's been made more complicated, of things have been added along the way, and yet in still, realistically, it's simple. Not to water it down or tone it down, but it's quite simple that we come to you, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that you will show us the way, that you have done all things that are necessary that we can be saved and know of that salvation, of know of that deliverance and know of that rescue and the plans that you have for us to save us and not harm us. And Lord, I'm just reminded of the words that we're going to sing in this next song and would ask in this prayer that, Lord, you would be our vision, that you would be Lord of our hearts. Let nothing stop us coming to you, that you would save us and be our only fort by day and by night, waking or sleeping. And above all, Lord, would you bless us with the presence of your light. O high King of heaven, where victory is won, may we reach heaven's joys and feel bright heaven's sun. May your heart be of my own heart, whatever befall. Lord, would you be our vision, or ruler of all. Amen. So we give thanks for this day in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we give thanks for the honour and the privilege of being able to baptise Emily. We pray that you would join in with her and the family of congratulating her and just praying with her afterwards. But now we give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. May his light shine upon us, his face counter us at all times. Be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. We need to get the Baptist boards back on, so if you can just kind of remain in here for now, but then afterwards, tea and coffee and refreshments and food and cake are going to be served in the schoolroom, and you're all very, very welcome to join us in there in a moment. But for now, thank you, stay safe, and God bless.